Knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot, Dan, is we groomed my dogs.
Yeah, you said it was a hassle.
We groomed our dogs. We groomed all three of them. We shaved Fanny and Jake. Took multiple dogs off of them, mm-hmm. and now they are very cold.
They're looking sharp, though.
Yeah, they look great. And here's why it's my bright spot. It is because Fanny is getting up there in age. She's getting a little older. And she was very cold, so we put a sweatshirt on her, and oh my god, it's the cutest fucking thing ever!
What sweatshirt? Is it a fun? Does it have a fun message on it? Like fuck you, I'm a dog.
Nope, it's a full pink sweatshirt with a little white paw on the back.
Oh, it's very sweet, wholesome sweater.
It was very much like you put it on her, and it was that moment where it was like the grandma. Does anybody else feel cold in here? And you're like, this is perfect.
Perfect. And you'd like to just leave that fur on, but you know you gotta keep them groomed, keep them
absolutely
keep it tight, and then you gotta replace it with a cute sweater.
Oh yeah, sometimes you let it go too long because on the outside it looks good, but then when you shave it off inside, oh, you don't know what she's been hiding in
tangled
there.
Mess of hair.
Wah! And then it's gone, and now she's wearing her perfect little sweatshirt.
That is adorable.
It's beautiful.
I'd like to see a picture.
I don't have one with me right now.
Eventually you will.
Don't believe. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that.
All right, what's your bright spot?
Well, I have selectively not told you something.
Oh!
And it's because it's my bright spot.
Okay.
I went to the woods.
You did?
Yep. I have already made
my
first trip.
You motherfucker!
Yep.
You selectively didn't tell me that.
On Friday, I drove about an hour and a half out of town.
All right.
To a state park and hiked a good 7 miles or so.
Hell yeah.
On a swampy kind of area.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's great.
It was a delightful time.
That's awesome.
Yep. I only hiked that long because I got lost. And went off on a side trail that I wasn't supposed to go off on unknowingly, and then had to backtrack. And
But that's the adventure. That's what you're out there for.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there for getting onto a side trail that's wrong.
Yeah, and at no point did I feel like, hey, I'm lost. I immediately knew, like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel at any point like I was worried about being lost.
Right.
And not because I had Google Maps or anything. I was just like, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy.
Sure.
And if I keep walking in some direction, I'll find a road.
Theoretically. You know, like, yeah.
And that was great. That felt great. Of like, even if I'm lost, I'm not lost. Who gives a shit?
Man,
out here in the wilds.
I could not be more proud or happy for you. In the past few weeks, you've gone from... I mean, this has been an incredible transformation. I'm really proud of you. This is awesome.
You.
You've gone from, like, how do I do this thing, which started with, let's get a driver's license, and then there was all this other stuff. And now here you are, successfully done that stuff, and then did the thing!
All the damn bureaucracy and, like, the... You know, I hate to sound like a libertarian, but the damn red tape.
What are you going
to
do?
You know, of getting through the process of being allowed to drive.
Yep.
You know, it is quite a hassle, and I thought that it wouldn't be honoring of making it through that and the help that I got from you and people like Angela Lampsberry and shit if I didn't make use of that. And so on Friday, I had nothing really to do necessarily that needed to be done.
Right.
And so I just jumped in the car and
that's fucking awesome.
I did... I I did okay.
Okay.
This is the longest drive I've had
in 20 years, probably. Yeah, at least, yeah.
It was fine. Yeah. It was all very fine, except for two things. Mm. One, I did not see one red light that was like 100 yards in front of another red light.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to slam on the brakes.
Okay.
And I felt really scared.
Sure.
But no harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul. All right.
Learning experience.
Yep.
And then the second thing was that I had Google Maps directing me.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that the cord that I had was not a power cord. It was just an aux cord. So at about 10% battery life,
no.
I was an hour from home. And I realized that I was now in a race against
time.
Yeah,
yeah, this is intense.
I had to find a gas station on the way to get the cord.
Yeah.
Or else I had a map in the car, but I did not trust my ability to like figure out how to get back.
Yeah.
I realized how on the road reliant on a Google map kind of thing I am.
Yeah.
And that was a little scary, but it all worked out. I found the cord.
Yeah. Man, can you imagine being back in those days where you were just like, I'll probably be fine.
I remember those days with like a Rand McNally.
Big oh, we'll paper stop map. At a rest stop and I'll sit there and I'll stare at this map and try and figure out what it is I'm even looking at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived those in road trips of times past, but like it felt so like it's so easy to have this robot just tell you where to turn.
Yep.
It's almost like a crutch that I can't resist.
It does feel like you have just written the epitaph of humanity. Like, we could have, but it's so fucking easy to let this robot tell me where to go.
Yeah. And they know.
They know.
They're right.
They probably know. Or at least they're close to knowing all the time.
Well, they're one for one in terms of this trip. Like,
they
didn't lead me wrong. So that's nice.
Yep.
I was, I met a nice lady on the trail.
All right.
Who's,
MacGyver style smooches or?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was, her child's age, let's say.
Okay.
But it was very nice. We walked about a mile or so, at the end, of, you know, where I was getting to where my parking lot was.
Yeah.
And we had just a very nice conversation just about how hiking's good for the brain and,
Cat Stevens starts playing.
Well, I mean, it did. I felt very worried when she was asking, like, what I do. And I said that I do a political podcast.
Oh, no.
And I could get a... I felt like a... uh-oh.
Yeah.
But she was very nice. She was someone who voted for Trump, but, like, was very kind and polite. And
you can be
we
both.
We didn't get into a fight or anything, so...
I'll let you in on a secret. Most people who are Trump voters are also very kind and nice.
Yeah,
that's weird.
But it was very strange that I'm here. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, wandering through the woods, and like here's a social opportunity to talk to someone.
Of course.
And, like you think it's the most isolated place, and then this person will just start. You know, someone just talks to you.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Any moment now, you're gonna start talking about open door philosophy.
No. I don't know what that is, and no. I'll be friendly to people that I meet in the woods.
All right, okay.
But I'm not... anyway.
Yeah.
Good times all around, success.
Excellent.
And hooray.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over, which is less fun.
I was going to say, that's almost anticlimactic to actually do what we're doing now. I'm really kind of high off of you having gone out.
Yeah, and I wish that there was something a little bit more exciting as a story other than just like I met a nice person and walked for a while chatting about life. But that is really great. It's just not like it's not as exciting as I saw a bear.
No, we're old now. That story is fucking edge of your seat thrilling. Mm. You met an adult person outside? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll keep people apprised of my my adventures, and I'm sorry that I did not have time to watch an episode of MacGyver.
That's what I'm really bothered.
This is
by.
All really just me making an excuse for not watching the next episode.
I can see that.
So we're going to be talking about October 19th, 2025.
Right. Okay.
This is the day after the No Kings protests.
Right.
Where nothing really happened.
Mm.
I mean, people protested, but there weren't any like. Bombings.
There were no bombings that I was aware of, yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll see what Alex's take is and how he's doing. Mm-hmm. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, happy 10-year anniversary to my wonky wife, Natalie. I hope Knowledge Fight never goes away so I can continue to wish you happy anniversary every 3 years. See you at 13. Love, Corny. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Wallace E. Ponk the Cat. The E stands for Emmerich. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to tell tales out of school.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is actually a cat's middle name,
mm-hmm.
but they misspelled Emmerich.
Ooh.
Next, shout out to me, a unicorn, and my partner, Snack. We are from Marietta, Georgia, and we both listen and love y'all's show. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
So the real question is, does Marietta have a bunch of pyramids?
That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We know Atlanta is lousy with pyramids.
You can't fucking throw a stone in Atlanta without hitting a pyramid.
Yeah.
Oh.
We also got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to shout out to Jordan for confirming that I've been pronouncing nadir correctly since I read it in a book. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, you did. You did great.
Oof.
Man, I actually, the moment that was written down, I was like, Nader's Nadir. That would be a good book to write about Ralph Nader's fall from grace.
About the seatbelts.
Yeah.
Was that the Nadir? No.
No. No, no, no.
2000. The election,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that would probably be it.
So we're talking about the left being in a Nadir right now.
Yep.
Because Trump is at the peak.
Yes, he is.
He is doing great.
He's killing it.
I think that, you know, it's October 19th, and there's a lot of shit that Alex should be pretty mad about Trump.
Yeah.
For.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we just still blowing up boats places?
Periodically.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear on that.
Hey, what are you going to do?
I mean,
they got drugs on them.
I feel like sometimes when people just say, oh, yeah, we occasionally blow up boats outside of other countries and nobody cares, it's weird.
It is strange that that's a dangling thread.
Yeah. Okay.
That's going on and Alex is not mad about. You know, Trump has said that free speech doesn't include flag burning.
Sure.
He has decided himself the sole arbiter of our freedoms.
Yep. True.
He has also said he's not going to heaven.
Right.
On Air Force One.
Right.
Which was so fucking weird.
Didn't seem necessary.
No.
That was the problem, I think, with it, is that it was really unnecessary.
No one asked him, are you going to heaven?
Hey, buddy, you going to heaven?
I don't think I'm going to make it.
I agree.
I don't think I'm heaven bound.
Guess what? Neither did anyone else on this fucking planet, man.
But it's really bad for Alex. He should be like, of course you just say you're going to heaven, you fucking asshole.
It would be weird to have God's chosen agent of saviorhood go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's a piece of shit, it's like, well, God made you do it, right?
I guess so.
You kind of have to. You got to get grandfathered in, if you will. Godfathered in, if you will.
Yeah.
No.
And so at this point, it's strange. It's strange in a not strange way.
Right.
How much like, Trump's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's so good.
It's Sunday, October 19th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're on the 272nd day of the return of the Trump administration. What an incredible time to be alive. I want to open the phones up tonight for folks to call in and give their prognosis 11 months into the return of the Trump administration, to give us your take on where you see the direction of the country going and whether or not you think Trump's getting a B+, an A+, and what do you think he can do better? Just quite frankly, Trump's doing better than I thought he could do. Still, it's very frustrating knowing what he's working with to see the bad guys we know are in the DOJ slowing down the prosecution of the deep state, because this isn't about vengeance. This is about survival of the country. I mean, the crimes that Obama and Hillary and the rest of them, Clapper, Brennan, committed are just insane. But hey, we got the first big three indictments, and a lot more are coming.
So he's prosecuting his enemies.
Sure.
You know, he's not firing Todd Blanche from inside the DOJ, who was so cruel to not let Alex go after the San Diego plaintiffs.
How could he?
So, yeah, Trump's doing good. He wants to check with the callers if it's an A-plus or a B-plus. Somewhere in there.
I mean, nobody likes a brown noser. Not even the person, you know, like, that's part of it, is that you're not brown nosing to make that person happy. They're happy to see you brown nose.
Yeah,
you
know? They're happy to see you brought low.
Yeah,
you bring yourself
low
in subservience.
Yeah, no, you don't need to go this far.
No.
You can pull it back at least a little bit.
It's glaring at this point, the level to which this is Alex's life compared to the guy with a bullhorn on the streets.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, you've gone from a guy who is capable of giving an F grade to a B plus to A plus only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rough.
So he used to be the guy with a bullhorn.
Yeah,
out there protesting.
Rawr, 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 rawr.
And now he's the guy who's like, fuck these stupid protesters.
I didn't want to take your calls. A lot of calls tonight. It's not that tonight's a slow news night. I mean, just for horror value and entertainment value, comedic value, the No Kings protest that were all over the country. They were in small towns all over Texas, not just in the big cities. I mean, I talked to friends and family and just listeners on the street, saw them everywhere. It was in the local news that just towns all around Austin had them. But if you estimate the numbers, about 7 million people out of 350 million that went out and protested. And the corporate media called it the biggest protest in U.S. history. That is absolutely preposterous. There have been protests where 50 million people in the 60s were estimated to hit the streets. That's when we had 100 million less people. And they've also been running old MSNBC protests from 2017 when Soros really had all that USAID funding and saying, oh, look, this was in Boston. Nope, they confirmed 2017. So they're running a lot of fake stuff. But let's just Gibb, the Krabenstein brothers, put out another video they claim is Chicago. Kind of looks like the immigrant, illegal alien, migrant caravans under Obama and Biden, doesn't it? But it's not. That's not illegal aliens, most of them, no. No, we've got ground footage in Chicago and ground footage in Austin, and I saw it with my own eyeballs, and ground footage in L.A. and Seattle and New York. We've got the ground footage, and we know that 95%, we'll show you a bunch of these videos coming up.
That's an A-plus.
I'll describe them. When I say 95% are white at these things, that's being lenient just to kind of throw in some black or brown people, because I really can't find them in almost all the videos.
Beautiful.
It's all, I mean, 95% white people. And I'd say that 95%, 80% are above 60. And this is a white supremacy problem. It is true now. The number one threat facing America is geriatric, leftist, communist, moron idiots who happen to be white, who've been running around trying to get a race war going so they can still feel like they control America. Talk about a group of morons.
Sure.
If they existed, they would be a group of morons.
Uh-huh.
That would be a very strange choice of thing to be.
Yeah, I think Alex is a little off here, but whatever.
Tad.
So, but he's saying that these No Kings protests were a dud,
yeah,
right? Like, that's when you get past the weird white stuff.
I mean, yeah, sure.
It's a dud.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself, what would have had to happen for Alex to consider the No Kings protest an effective protest?
Mm.
It's almost like they would have been a total dud unless some kind of violence broke out. And if some kind of violence broke out, it would be a false flag carried out by Soros and Podesta agitators.
Right.
This is the thing with protests. How do you assess their effectiveness? A large turnout is one way, but there's also a lot of intangible things like community organizing and using the large turnout as a platform to boost awareness of advocacy groups that folks going to the protest might have been previously unaware of. Reflecting on a protest is tough because there's no single metric that you can tell, like, if it made a dent or not.
Sure.
And I think that territory is really easy for shitheads to, you know, fuck around with.
Sure.
As for the fake images from 2017 thing, Alex is just lying. Right-wing dipshit Twitter accounts started accusing MSNBC of running footage from 2017 and claiming that it was the current No Kings protest in Boston, and this claim spread, going so far as to having Ted Cruz retweet it. He would go on to delete this post because the footage of MSNBC, they were running it, it was from 2025.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. The damage had already been done. These folks wanted a way to invalidate the size of the protests and the media at the same time, and they found an easy way to do just that. Just lie about the media using old footage and pretending that it's current. In response, media outlets looked into it and found that the footage was current and that these people were making shit up, so they offered debunks and corrections. And in response to this, the folks who lied to get their way in the first place just ignored all that shit and kept with their original lie because
what?
Their audience doesn't care.
Whoa.
Yeah, shocking. Obviously, it wasn't almost all white people at these protests,
sure.
But this is not a meaningful argument to engage with. I would suspect that the overall diversity of the protests was lower than it would be if there wasn't a ongoing state-sponsored terror campaign aimed at detaining and arresting people they suspect of being immigrants.
Sure.
I think there's probably a lot of people who don't feel safe outside their homes right now, and that might be a factor, but I'm not going to argue the demographics of this protest with Alex.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, when you look around and you say the slave catchers are out, you don't be surprised at what you see outside.
I would be almost sure that attendance at every parade is lower than it would be in other years other than like 2021.
Oh, man.
When COVID was at its peak.
Here's what we need to be talking about, because a lot of that was fucked up. Admittedly, but what's really important is that by removing the U.S. aid money, we are getting smaller protests. That's what Soros needed, that money to give us the big protests. I don't understand. Was that money like a one-to-one thing? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the U.S. aid money goes directly to protests. It's not like it doesn't go to his bank account or to an organization, straight to the protests.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how we have to conceive of it.
Right.
Which is kind of stupid, because if Soros really cared about these protests, he's got money.
I mean,
he doesn't need that USAID money. He bankrupted the UK.
It feels like
he crashed the British banks.
Somebody would have had to go to him. In much like this situation, he's behind his desk, and I'd be like, oh, man, we lost the USAID money. What are we going to do? How do we make it up for the protesters?
Who cares? I'm a fucking billionaire. Who gives a shit?
See, that's you would have to say no. Fuck them. If you don't get the USAID, you don't get the protest.
That means you didn't believe in this to begin with.
Exactly.
And Alex is supposed to be pitching these villains as people who really believe in, like,
right,
trying to bring about worldwide communist
right
tyranny.
Right. If you're an evil globalist hell-bent on taking over the world, to not receive government funding to protest the government seems absurd.
It's a setback.
It is, yes, at best.
But you got to keep moving. Yeah. Nonsense. Anyway, this No Kings protest.
Sure.
There was another one back in June.
Yeah.
If you recall.
I do recall.
And there were some murders the night before
that
one.
Let's go talk about that one.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, let me give you a little overview of what we've got here this evening. The globalist, Soros, Democrat, communist, pedo, Satan worshiper, New World Order, No Kings, overthrow of Trump, ridiculous demonstrations, also known as the No Brains
got 'em
rally. They had the last big one on June 14th, and then a agency board head for Tim Walz in Minnesota's operation went and killed a state rep, state senator, shot their spouses, and then got caught and said he was doing it in a false flag for Tim Walz. Who knows what happened there, but very suspicious. But that was about it for violence. I mean, the left attacked a bunch of people, beat up people, shot a few people, set some fires, but still not the earth-shattering garbage they promised.
You might notice that Alex has no new information about this case, which he's reporting as a very possible false flag operation run by Tim Walz, where the person carrying it out has survived and seems willing to talk.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Hmm.
He's so incurious about this case, which should be maybe the only thing that a person who is like what Alex pretends to be would focus on.
Yeah.
For all of his other primary failings, Alex has a decent business instinct, and he's not curious about digging further into this story because he knows that he's got everything he needs out of it, and asking more questions will only reveal how dumb it was to pretend that Vance Bolter was carrying out a false flag for Tim Walz.
Yeah.
If Alex actually believed this guy was working for Walz, but realized that he was being set up, so he reached out to Kesh Patel to spill the beans, then Alex should be doing everything in his power to advocate for him to get a public hearing mm-hmm. and the largest platform possible.
Mm-hmm.
He would be trying to do interviews with him while he's in jail and sending his reporters to Minnesota.
Yep.
He would have to do that, because if he believes any of this stuff, then Vance Bolter is one of the only people in the world who's a legitimate dangling thread of a globalist false flag operation.
Mm-hmm.
He would represent the holy grail for Alex, like if one of the 9/11 hijackers had survived and wanted to talk about how Cheney had hired him.
Yep.
Like, that's the level of importance of this guy.
You bet.
Alex doesn't behave this way for two reasons. One, he knows Bolter is full of shit and has no interest in risking letting the audience see And two, he knows that the more that anyone looks into the case, the more they're likely find that Bolter is a Trump fan and an InfoWars listener who did exactly what Alex has preached was the thing that the smart right wingers would do if a civil war kicked off.
Yep.
And they'll also find Alex and Matt Bracken talking about how the civil war was kicking off at the No Kings protest in June.
Sure.
And that Bolter told his wife and kids, quote, "Dad went to war last night."
Right.
Alex doesn't care to dig into this story because on some level, he knows that it leads back to him.
Mm-hmm.
These are the real-world ramifications of his fake world bullshit, and he doesn't want people to treat him like they are.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have to be held to account for, like, this is part of what you want people to do, you dipshit.
Yep.
And yeah. Oh, well.
He has to run forward and make a lot of noise, because if he stops and people look back, then what he's left behind him is going to catch up.
But the problem is that the noise that he's making, if you believe conspiracy theory ideology at all,
sure.
The noise that he should be making is all eyes on Bolter.
Right.
Everybody, like, because if you can unravel this,
right.
It unravels so much.
Right. Here's what I like to think of Alex as. If we're both being chased by a bear, I don't have to outrun the bear, I have to outrun you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the things that he does are there so he can keep running while you're talking about that thing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're doing that. Ah, I'm past you. I'm gone. You're dead. You're eaten by the bear if you're stuck talking about that. You know?
Yeah, he's good. All he has to do is distract you enough to keep a little distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... it's just pathetic. I really think that this is a good case point where, like, his behavior would be so different if he wasn't full of shit.
Yeah.
Just based on what he is supposed to believe. He should be, like, trying to live in that cell with Bolter.
Sooner or later, Carrie knew that Mark Richards was full of shit, but she still went to that jail
mm-hmm.
because you got to go to the jail to talk to that guy.
You got
to
keep up the brand.
You got to do it.
And Alex is letting his own brand down.
Yep.
So these protests were big.
Sure.
Maybe the biggest ever.
Maybe.
But who cares? That's small.
That's a good point.
They're all over the corporate media. New York Times, CNN, MSNBC. Oh, biggest demonstration in history. And their own estimates are 7 million in over 2,500 locations. And I have no doubt it was in thousands of locations, because I talked to people in Bastrop and Dripping Springs and Waco and, you know, towns out Arlington, Texas. I got calls from friends and family, and, you know, got a guy at the gas station says, I live in Dripping Springs. 200 of them blocked the road. We're beating on our windows this morning. So, I mean, the local news said basically every town of any size in Texas even had it, not the cities. And they were all over downtown. I was down there doing a podcast Saturday morning on Sean Johnson's podcast. It's come out in a few days at his studios. And I saw Palestinian demonstrators and saw Antifa even at 10 a.m. And then I came out of the podcast about 12:30 and saw even more. So there was a lot of them, but there's 350 million people in this country.
Sure.
So if 7 million demonstrated, that's 2%.
Yep.
But the headlines are, ooh, the Republicans are scared. Ooh, MAGA. Man, Trump, you better watch out. why the majority of Americans are angry and they march. No, 2%. Even though a lot of them are paid to do it.
This is so dumb. And it reveals the kind of elementary school playground shit Alex is involved in. If this is the largest protest in history and it's only 2% of the entire population of the U.S., then 2% of the population is the largest mass gathering in history.
Yeah.
2% of the population may seem like a small amount in a poll, but apparently it's a gigantic number of people in terms of getting them out on the streets demonstrating.
Yeah.
Alex would frequently bask in the exaggerated numbers of folks who were showing up to the Stop the Steal protests and how many folks were at January 6th, and all that's fine to do. It's just pathetic to try to have it both ways. If it's embarrassing to get 2% of the population out to these protests, then you have to accept that your protests got way less than that. And also, Alex screams about, like, 3% of the population caused the civil or the Revolutionary War.
Aren't your buddies called the 3%ers telling you about how important 3% is?
Well,
you should be thinking 2 is too close.
Man, it's a big percent, big difference between 1, 2, and 3. You know,
but your point is that there's not that big of a difference between 0 and 2%, so it can't be that big of a difference between 2 and 3%.
Well, see, 0 and 2 is easy.
I feel like that's not true.
Big jump.
You know what? Maybe that is true. Maybe the first 2% is a lot easier than the next third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like batting averages. You know, like last little bit is the difference between a great player and a legend.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Ah.
That different. I'm what's slipping
our,
in and out of my
outfits. What's our wins over replacement protest?
2.2. 2.2.
That's what we're looking for. Okay. Yeah.
Everyone knows it. So Alex mentioned in that clip that he saw like Antifa and Palestinian protesters.
Sure.
And he talks here a little bit about how he believes that none of these people should be collaborating because like Muslims hate gay people.
So we should be fighting each other.
He thinks probably that's what should be happening.
Ah, man.
But everyone gets together because they hate white people.
Sure.
The podcasting studio is in the middle of downtown, and F1's here, and a bunch of other festivals, so it's really bad traffic, so I was sitting there like 30 minutes driving 3 miles an hour into downtown to go on that podcast, and I was saying, okay, they got Palestinian flags, okay, they got Black Lives Matter flags, okay, there's some Antifa, 20 here, 15 there, 40 here. I was like, where's the black person? Didn't see one. Now, at the Palestinian throngs, some looked like they were Muslim, but it was mainly white people.
Throngs.
They had gay flags mixed in with the Palestinian stuff. I mean, they always do. It's like, what? They're going to throw you off a damn building, you dumbass. I mean, it's just, it'd be like Tweety Bird for Sylvester.
What?
It'd be like Tweety Bird standing there with a sign saying, I love Sylvester.
What?
Standing in Sylvester's mouth. I mean, it's just, or more serious note, it'd be like a fly flying around a Black Widow's web saying flies for Black Widows. I mean, it's, you know.
Is that more
it's
serious? Just,
it's, or think of another one. Chickens for weasels. Chickens for foxes. Sheep for wolves. I mean, I don't know. Mice for rattlesnakes. You know, that's what rattlesnakes eat. Well, that's probably infrared. Pit viper.
Thanks.
Seals for great white sharks?
Sure.
I just don't get it.
Name more prey slash predators.
The left hates America, so they'll coalition with anybody that hates the West, hates Christianity, and hates white people. That's the sacrament of the left. But just like, in fact, the crew can pull it up. All those big famous Black Lives Matter deals where you'll have the Black Israelites or whatever, that crazy group, saying, lick my boots, bitch. And there's just thousands of white people bowing down, going, oh, we worship you, and FBI agents and cops doing it, and people licking black people's boots. And again, that's all funded by Soros to create division, obviously. But again, it's 95% white. That is such a big takeaway.
What a takeaway. So his crew pulls something up based on, you know, what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like the licking black people's boots.
Yeah.
And the thing that they can find is the guy who runs Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Cleaning a black person's shoe.
Right.
And Alex is like, you know, that's more like Christ-like, though. That's like, you know, washing people's feet like Christ would do. That's totally fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was funny. So being pro-LGBTQ and pro-Palestinian are not incompatible positions. If a group is facing a genocide, then you don't have to agree with all of their social and political positions in order to oppose the continuation of that genocide. Even beyond that, it's foolish to pretend that all Palestinians or all Muslims would want to throw gay people off buildings. That's something that's the territory of religious extremists, and while it may not be as flashy as throwing someone off a roof, Alex supports things like conversion therapy, which is in many cases just torture. If you are LGBTQ, you have a good reason to fear Islamic fundamentalism, but Christian fundamentalism poses the exact same threat,
yeah.
And Alex understands that.
Yeah.
Another trend that we're seeing in Alex's content in recent days that is reflected here is there's an increase in him starting to villainize white people who he might have called race traitors in the past.
Right.
This is an unsurprising development because it's kind of how racist movements evolve to start attacking the people who are of your in-group, who are not loyal to your in-group.
Well, yeah, they were there whenever you needed them, and now they're not necessary, so you can take them out. We've never seen any kind of poems written about something along these lines.
No, and I think that it's, like I'm saying, it's an unsurprising development,
sure,
but unsettling, nonetheless.
It's no fun.
No.
It's no fun. I wonder how many different, like, what would have happened if he had gotten stuck on Snake and Mongoose? Like, would he have just, shorted out?
He didn't eat. He had snake with mouse.
He had
mouse,
snake and
right?
mouse. Yeah. He did that. But in my head, I imagine
infrared.
He's going, like, seal and great white shark. Snake and mongoose and snake. No. Snake and no.
Mm-hmm.
Mongoose and snake. No!
Yeah.
No.
I feel like maybe have you read that book, Bear versus Shark?
I have read Bear. Chris Beckelder is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, we should just give that book to Alex and freak him out. And
that
then,
would freak him out.
Just, he'll be caught in that forever.
Yeah, that would freak him out.
So Alex likes to say that, like, racist things are fake.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
But he's got a little story about some racist flyers that were posted in San Diego.
Oh, my.
And he's like, I don't always think things are fake when they're racist.
Okay.
By the way, somebody in California and in San Diego and other places is happening is putting signs on people's cars, you know, under the windshield wipers saying, because Latinos are being kicked out by Trump, we're going to start killing all the white people.
Okay.
And when you watch the videos, I love how the whites, Hispanics, and others that find the signs are like, we got to find out who's doing this. Is this real, or is this somebody trying to stir up division? See, I don't see that go, oh, a Hispanic did that for sure. The Hispanics are coming to kill us.
Yes, you do.
No, I immediately say that's probably a setup by some white supremacist group or some leftist group wanting to create division. Who knows? We should find out. They should check the surveillance footage and find out. It's happening all over the place in California. I don't know who's doing it. The point is, oh, look, this says Hispanics are going to kill white people. You just don't buy. And look, I know the audience, because for new listeners, I'm attacked over the years because I'll always ask the same question. Gee, did Jussie Smollett stage this? And that goes both ways. Different sides can do the same crap. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Alex's curiosity really never goes the other direction.
Mm.
Every time there's a white victim of a crime, it was racially motivated as an attack, and it's proof that white people are the most persecuted people in the world.
Well, he definitely is.
And every time that there's a black victim of a crime, Alex does his best to illustrate that the victim kind of deserved what happened and that the attack might have been fake.
Wow.
He's still talking about Jussie Smollett, which tells you how rarely he's right about his consistent behavior of trying to invalidate racist violence. So there was a person on Reddit from San Diego who posted a flyer they allegedly found on their car that starts, quote, we have a job for you, helping us kill white women.
Yes.
It's a little incoherent as a whole, but it seems like the job that they're offering involves poisoning white women's drinks at restaurants.
Yeah.
So they'll overdose and be called drug addicts, and no one will ever have to, no one will come and arrest you because they were doing drugs.
Here's what I love about this plan. First off, that's a great plan.
Yeah.
My favorite part is the first step, flyers in people's car windows.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start.
Yes.
That was where you're like, I get that the plan ends very poorly,
mm-hmm.
but that you started with flyers in people's windshields makes me less concerned.
Well, it's you know, like trying to recruit people for telemarketing gigs and stuff. You know, you gotta put it out there.
It is. It would be. Okay. So when we were running a show, you know, nobody's there. You got to bark. You got to bark yep. for some people. You got to bark for a
show
crowd.
Tonight.
Come in. We're doing comedy. Don't you want to be here? And you know what
cheap
everybody
booze.
Says? No, of course not, because they don't want to be there.
Right.
Right. That's the same thing that's happening right here. No, nobody's coming in.
You think that these people are putting these flyers out and no one is going to poison the white women at bars?
If it is sincere, that's creepier to me than...
It's totally not sincere. It's fucking so clearly fake. It's signed at the bottom, attributing the message to the Family Health Center in San Diego.
Nice.
Another user posted a flyer that they found that was clearly by the same person, but was looking for people to kill white men.
Ooh.
Same kind of thing with a vague idea about what the job is,
sure.
But it seems like poisoning food and drinks at restaurants is their consistent go-to.
All right, well, you gotta spice it up.
This one is attributed to the Amalgamated Transit Union.
Mm.
According to commenters, there's a well-known character to people in San Diego that's doing this.
Yeah.
These flyers have been put on cars for a while, and they tend to play into conservative fear-based talking points. Someone must have tweeted about this, Alex skimmed past it, and then decided to use it as an example of how great his critical thinking skills are. See, he didn't jump in head first and decide that this is La Raza recruiting for a race war. He's a responsible, critical guy who can see this and be, oh, maybe it's white supremacists who are trying to false flag the Hispanic people. It's a fucking idiot. There's just a crazy person who's putting this on people's cars.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this.
Yeah.
I found a bunch of other flyers that people have found on their cars in San Diego.
I like it.
That I suspect are the same person.
Very similar point of view?
Kind of, uh-huh. But not enough that I can confidently say, like, I see the, like, same sentences or
all
whatever.
All right, you're not unibombering it.
No,
okay.
Not necessarily. But I have a strong suspicion that there's just someone who's printing out a bunch of shit and putting it on people's cars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I'll say. Once you start doing that, it does seem to be a solution to a lot more problems than before you start. Like, I've never thought, here's my solution to this problem, printing stuff out and putting it on a windshield.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're kind of pot committed once you do it the first time, because if you give up, then you have to admit that it was never a good idea in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to keep on, doing it, everything.
Yeah. And you're able to, like, associate whatever these messages are with things like a community health center that provides care that you don't agree with.
Right.
Or the Amalgamated Transit Union that supports workers in the transit field.
Right.
So, like, you have these things you can target with your crazy lashing out.
Yeah.
And I think that's really more what's going on here than anything.
I can't think of a worse thing to... Here's what I'll say. In terms of recruitment efforts versus execution. You know what I'm saying? If you're going poison... I think you want to have a far more stringent recruitment kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not accepting anybody off the street if you're poisoning people.
Hear me out on this, though.
Okay.
It's not recruitment.
Okay.
The phone number at the bottom is to this health center.
I understand.
So, like, no one is ever going to be able to get in touch with you to get in on the poisoning gig.
I understand.
Because it's not real.
I understand that it's not real.
The goal is to create racist conversation and people freaking out and thinking this is real.
Right.
Or... conversely, doing what Alex is doing and thinking it's fake and a false flag.
Very smart.
Yeah, well, no.
No, I meant that very, yeah.
Yeah, it's the goal is to have people talk about it as opposed to, like, look, you're not...
nobody's getting poisoned at the end of these flyers, man.
And there's no paycheck.
I get it.
Don't
you're
call.
Don't argue with me.
I feel like you were trying to talk yourself into being like, I'm a good candidate for this.
I don't know. I'm not a good poisoner. I got a tremor, man. Who knows? I'm going to poison somebody. Boom, it's in my mouth. I'm dead.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, guess what? No workman's comp.
See, there you go. That's
they
the
hate
problem.
The unions.
That's why you gotta fuck with... Oh, man. You print stuff off and you put it on a windshield.
Yeah. So, Alex has another story that he's dipping his toe into about a guy who got arrested 111 times.
Okay.
And so, that's where the real violence is. And I wanted to tie that into it because the real violence is Democrat judges, state and federal. I mean, I've got news articles here where they're releasing people that have 111 arrests, dozens of them for violent 40 of them in one case, 40 carjackings and robberies out of 111 arrests. And the Soros DA just keeps letting them out because they're black. And then black folks are in the local news going, listen, lock these people up. It's not hardly any of the blacks doing it. It's a small number that literally, when they arrested him for the 111th time, they got on his phone. He was plotting to kill the police because he thought, this is one case I'm going to play you, because he'd be free to kill whoever he wanted if he could just go ahead and kill cops. So he was looking up, what's the sentence for killing a cop?
Alex is making up the kid. Who he's talking about allegedly had looked up in the past, can you kill a cop? What's the sentence for killing a cop?
Sure.
But Alex is creating a fun little story about, like, if I kill cops, then I could kill anybody.
That's
all from his imagination.
That does make sense.
So his story here is that there's someone who's been arrested 111 times, 40 of which were for carjacking, and every time he's gotten released and not charged because he's black.
Mm.
The 111 number is pretty specific, so it's easy to find the case that Alex is talking about. This is about a 15-year-old in Charlotte, North Carolina. Because they're a minor, none of their information can be released publicly, but Police Sergeant Todd Martin used him as an example at a press conference arguing for why catch-and-release policing doesn't work.
Mm.
According to Martin, the kid actually has been involved in 55 car thefts, so Alex is low on that number.
Sure.
And he got busted for weed once. It's hard to tell how many distinct events this kid is involved in, but it doesn't seem like there's 111 separate arrests. More like maybe there's 111 different crimes.
Sure.
Either way, there's no indication of this 15-year-old's race, so even if Alex is correct, he's just making up that he's black.
It would be illegal for him to know that he's black.
Right, and from the available information in the reporting that Alex is relying on, that's not a piece of the information set. That's available, so Alex is just making that up.
It's almost like he's making a racist judgment based upon,
And he's kind of soft playing the fact that this guy's 15 in order to make it look more like he's black, and that's why he's gotten away with all of these crimes, as opposed to the juvenile justice system works in a certain way. I don't know.
Absurd.
I don't think you should be arrested 111 times, but...
Sure.
I think that I would look at a broader reason around this for how this happens.
I mean, you know, to my thinking, anything that you don't want to have happen, that you allow to happen 111 times, somewhere along the line you could have gone, maybe there's a different solution to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we try something else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, well.
What you gonna do?
So Alex plays some videos of people at the protests, and he gets mad at them.
Sure.
And I think he wishes Owen Schroyer was around to go destroy these cucks. You know, like
they
back in the old days.
He doesn't have anybody to do man on the street.
No, Savannah Hernandez is a woman, so Alex wouldn't let her do it.
Right. She's, wow.
So that, she's doing it for someone else.
We heard him say that.
We
heard him say that out loud.
So she quit and decided to go work for someone who would treat her like a person.
Right. Harrison Smith would be found in the toilet with his head under. He'd be swirled in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Chase doesn't really work there anymore, so he's not doing it.
And he's too important. He owns the shit. He's not going out there.
No, I don't think he has anybody.
No, he's fucked. If he has to carry a cam with him and harass people on his own, and he just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So instead, just watch other people's videos and then make assumptions about people
That's
and get
sad.
Mad about them.
So they're the worst of the worst. White government bureaucrats at every level that think they're the ruling class and all they are the minions that sold the country out that now want violence because they want to cloud and pivot and collapse everything and they think they're going to come out on top of the wrecked country. I mean, look at these smiling, idiotic young women. You know, they've all got two or three college degrees, and they've all got government jobs. I'll bet my right arm you ask all those women, what do you do? Well, I work at the Department of, I work at the Social Security. Yeah, and how many times a month are you going to work? Well, I sit at home with my thumb up my ass. And they got these big, stupid Cheshire grins on their faces while they hope for everybody's death that they don't like. Now, she's hoping Trump's going to have a heart attack. Well, she, you know, she didn't lose some weight. She might. I bet she's had so many Pfizer shots, hell, she'll probably be dead in a few months. Idiot.
Alex is just making up all of this stuff to get mad at about a random person.
Yeah.
And she did say that she wanted Trump to have a heart attack. That is true. That's fair enough. But all the stuff about, like, she probably works at a job, she could have thumb up her ass.
Yeah.
All that stuff is just from his imagination.
You know, it's hard to believe women whenever they say things are tougher in the workplace. Whenever you hear stuff like that, you know, that's a man just saying that this is a highly educated woman who went into public service. See?
He's mad about it.
He seems pretty mad about it.
Well, I mean, what do you expect her to do? She can't be a man on the street reporter because it's too dangerous. You got to get into public service.
It seems almost like her being competent makes him hate her more.
It definitely is not something he likes.
Yeah, that seems like a problem. He should
Cheshire cat grin.
How dare she be happy with trying to help people?
So Alex said that he was going to take some calls.
Sure.
And he was going to see what Trump's grade
B plus,
was.
A plus.
Somewhere in there.
Yep.
Someone does end up giving him a C minus.
Bullshit.
And Alex is not happy about that.
Oh, mother.
But he gets one call that I thought was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman who got hit by a car. Okay. At a protest.
All right.
And her complaint about it is not great.
Okay.
But there was an incident yesterday that I'm a little upset about because it happened to me. I went to Fort Myers is where I live at, and on 41 in Daniels, this will give a picture to everybody that lives around here. I was trying to make it to the end of the crowd so I could come back and start asking questions. So you could also see how people here in Florida are reacting. And I didn't even get to make it to the end of the crowd. One, it was so large. But two, I was going through the crosswalk, and a guy came through, swerved around in between the curb and another car, and hit me with his car. Because of all the rhetoric that is going on, he thought that I was with the people at No King. He found out later after the cops came and we filled the report out. I told the cops, I said, you need to go over there and tell him that I am a Trump supporter, and that's who he hit. Not one of these people. He hit a Trump supporter. So the cop told him that, and the cop came back and he said, you know, he's really sorry and would like to talk to you. And I didn't go over there and talk to him because, one, he didn't get arrested because he was a retired police officer, and he should have been. And two, because I was so upset because of all the rhetoric, I can't even walk down the street legally in a crosswalk without somebody thinking something, and they just want to do whatever they want to do. And it hurt my feelings more than anything to think that one of my own people hit me with their car, and I can't even go and talk to anybody else.
Well, listen, hold on, Angela. I believe you, and I've been surprised we haven't had Trump supporters do stupid things. I mean, we know there's been some of it. We know about 99% of political violence has been the left. But, I mean, I have no doubt that this happened to you. Are you sure he tried to hit you on purpose?
Yes, I have it on video.
Oh. So it really feels to me like this caller thinks that if this retired cop who hit her with a car had hit a leftist protester with the car, it would have been okay. The only problem is that she is a Trump supporter, so she doesn't deserve that kind of thing. And the rhetoric in the country has gotten so heated that the people on her side aren't being careful enough about who they hit with their cars. Instead of feeling like this person is saying, don't hit people with cars, it definitely comes off like her point is, you're hitting the wrong people with cars. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I can't see any way to listen to that and not go, wrap it up. Everybody, wrap it up. We've reached the end.
Mm-hmm.
The number of things that she has inadvertently revealed, along with the fact that she's not even that concerned about the rampant corruption of a retired officer being able to murder people.
Well, she's not happy about it.
She's bummed about it. But yeah. You know what? He's also a Trump supporter, so I guess it's fine.
One of my own people.
I mean, That's, see, another one of those things. One of my own people, that's a real problem. Mm-hmm. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. That's a wrap, everybody.
Yeah.
We gave it, they call it America the Grand Experiment. It's a fucking failure. You fucked up, you shit founding fathers. Fuck off.
At the end of all of this, yeah, like teasing out all of these threads, I believe that what is under this is her believing herself to be a person,
yeah,
and the other people not to be people.
Yeah.
If you had, if he had hit somebody with like who is an Antifa protester or whatever with his car, they probably deserved it.
Hit a cockroach.
Yeah. Oh, even if you want to pretend they're people, they probably threw something at his car. They deserved it.
Totally.
Or whatever.
Yep.
But not me. I'm a person.
Nope.
I'm a Trump supporter.
I mean, honestly, that is like, oof. Why ever think that we're the good guys if that woman is here with us?
But
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the thing that sucks so much is that there are kernels of, like, I get it. Like, it sucks that this former cop didn't face any consequences for intentionally hitting you with a car.
No, exactly.
Like, I would want to agree with you about that.
No, but you're misunderstanding that by virtue of the first part of your complaint, the second part of your complaint is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
If you are mad about these No Kings people, you have guaranteed yourself getting hit by a cop in some form or fashion sometime.
Yeah. At very least, you're facilitating it, making it more likely.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate. You shouldn't be hit by cars. But this mentality is crazy.
Man, I just really think we got to go back to the Nuremberg trials and just be like, sorry, guys, we had no idea how bad we are.
I think we just need to, like, we really need people to understand concepts as opposed to just surface level stuff.
They just don't.
Yeah. They're, you know, literacy should make a comeback.
I mean, Florida is probably the place where we should start.
So Alex gets another call from somebody who has some questions about Charlie Kirk in Israel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go well.
Uh-oh.
And he goes to commercial, and he comes back, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore.
All right, let me go back to your phone calls. And I notice a bunch of people on the board are calling in about Israel, which is fine. I'm a big critic of what goes on in Israel.
Are
but
you?
Every time there's an event, there's a pressure campaign to say it's Israel, and then to bully people that don't say it's Israel, and then a bunch of fake stuff getting put out to make people believe it's Israel. Israel's got enough bad things it does than to make stuff up. That's not the department I'm in. And I know fake anonymous videos when I see it. I mean, it is anonymous, what the lady was just talking about. But look, I don't talk about all the behind-the-scenes stuff I know. Anytime I want, I go to the White House, Mar-a-Lago, TPUS event, any of it, okay? Before Kirk died, he said, why aren't you calling us? Why don't you try to come on? Why don't you come on? We've reached out. Why don't you come to more of our events? I'm like, well, the bankruptcy and family, and I feel like I can do more here, and, you know, you're doing a great job. Charlie Kirk has been listening to me for 15 years.
Is he still?
His wife, huge listener, huge fan, super hardcore, way more hardcore you even see them on TV talking about. Okay? And that's the reality. I was, having breakfast with Tucker last Monday up in Maine for one of the show. We were talking about he's about to get on a plane that night and fly up to have dinner with the vice president and Erica Kirk. And he was just talking about all their concerns and how hardcore they are and, how the battle and how, they're confused by a lot of stuff going on. And, I know how, J.D. Vance, 5 years before I ever ran for the Senate, was doing newspaper interviews defending me and talking about the First Amendment, how he loves my show and been listening since he was in college. I mean, these are real people. And I know it's fashionable to just say everything's fake and this isn't real or that's not real. No, these are real people.
So just before this, a caller had asked Alex about a video that she saw on Twitter where a guy with a blurred out face had alleged that Erica Kirk has been working for Israel. And it's all part of a larger conspiracy that she was his handler.
Okay.
Alex ranted a bit in response to this caller about how anonymous blurred face videos mean nothing and how you have to be more careful with your sources, which is real fun. It's very, very fun.
I mean, it's fashionable for people to think things aren't true.
Right. And they're fake.
And they're false flags.
I was going to play that initial call, but it ends up being about 10 minutes long, and I'd need to play it uninterrupted, and it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
Suffice it to say that Alex is very offended by this caller suggesting that the anonymous video should be taken seriously. This is what leads into this clip, where Alex is coming back from break and basically saying that he doesn't want to talk about Israel and that everyone in power is cool. All of these people are great and heroic because they make Alex feel important. J.D. Vance is a good vice president because he makes Alex think he's a fan of his dumb show. If anyone were a longtime listener of Alex's show, or even like kind of brief time listener, they would know that he's severely vulnerable to flattery. Steve Pachenik explained it to Alex's face, how he was a guy who could be compromised by people validating his sense of importance. Roger Stone essentially took over InfoWars by playing into Alex's grandiosity and need to be like a central spoke in the wheel of history. Alex is an open book in terms of how you can manipulate him, so I find the argument that these people are great because they pretend to like Alex a little bit thin. And honestly, I think it makes more of an argument that they're bad actors. That they are evil people, that they are flattering Alex. If I were Alex, I would be much more worried about that than he is.
Absolutely.
These people are making me feel important. That's a red flag.
I mean, I just from a purely simple social construct, right? If I'm with this person and we feel good together, but then whenever I take what I'm with this person out and give it to other people and they get mad at me, but they don't get mad at that person, I'm a shield. I am not a real person. I am a wall to protect that person from any kind of criticism.
Yeah. And like, if J.D. Vance is telling you, hey, I love you, I lived, listened to you since college, and like, he will go and like host Charlie Kirk's show after he gets killed, but doesn't associate with you in public at all. If Trump is supposed to love you and think you're the best, but hasn't appeared publicly with you since 2015, like, you gotta kind of ask some questions. If all of these people, like Benny Johnson and Tucker, and like, they got invited to speak at Charlie Kirk's memorial, and you didn't even get in? You weren't even invited? What does that say? It says you're not in.
It does
say that. They're fucking with you.
It does say that. It says exactly what like a PSA about school bullying would say if you were in sixth grade.
And here's the deal, too. If I'm a guy who cut his teeth and made the brand about questioning everything. And being a guy who's like, I smell through the bullshit, I fight corruption, I find false flags. I would never trust anyone in power who said they liked me.
It would be ridiculous.
Because in order to live up to what I am, I can't trust you. So if you're trying to butter me up, you know that I can't trust you. It's suspicious.
I mean, I don't think that it's always a positive, but having a fairly solid knee-jerk reaction to any sort of flattery as being, what the fuck do you want? It hasn't hurt me too bad in my life, and it's probably served me pretty well in a lot of situations.
It impedes your ability to connect with people, I think, but it also, in terms of politics, I think is a good instinct.
You're not gonna get me.
Yeah.
I think you look well today. You motherfucker!
I don't. I'm wearing a headband.
My bad. I'm sorry. I was overreacting a little bit.
So Alex is furious about this video that that caller had brought up. This blurred face anonymous video. And he goes on a bit of a rant about how he could just make his own fake video if he wanted.
No, he couldn't.
And it's mostly killing time because he doesn't want to take more calls that are mostly about Israel.
That's fair.
And he is just, fuck.
The proof is in the pudding, not in anonymous videos with blurred out stuff saying horrible defamatory things about somebody. When you see that, it's automatically suspect. Then you listen to it and how obviously fake it sounds, it's a bad actor. You know, again, tonight or tomorrow, I can have one of the crew with an iPhone film me. We'll put it through a voice changer, blur it all out or blacken my face out, even though I've told everybody I'm going to do it. Put it out with horrible allegations made up, they're 100% false, about some Republican official. And then I could air it on the show, and right after I air it, say that's fake. This is an example of what is bad. and the media will still clip out what I said and not have the part where I explain it and use my good for evil, so I'm not even going to do it.
What?
I probably had 20 phone calls about that video the last 4 days. And it actually made me get angry. Because I've had the same type of stuff done to me. Anonymous, made-up crap by cowards that won't actually stick their face up there to say something to the public.
I will.
I mean, anonymous accounts, anonymous people hiding, and people take that as always the best. Oh, my God. I just want to go with absolutely unproven, blurred out, obviously fake. I want this. I want fake. I want to be lied to. I want to be deceived.
Maybe our mistake is that we have not been anonymous.
Yeah, I think that makes...
Maybe the fact that our names and faces are public and we've been on TV...
Pretty findable.
Yeah. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe there's not enough mysteriousness behind us.
He hates those anonymous guys.
Yeah. If only we were anonymous, he would probably... I have a big problem with our podcast.
I think if we were lieutenant colonels, he might be our fans.
Well, now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Alex is so mad about these fake fucking videos.
Right.
This fake video.
Yeah.
But that's kind of his business model.
It is exactly his business model.
Fake lieutenant colonels telling him things.
Yeah.
Antifa documents that he's found online.
Yeah, it's like his real problem is that it's an evolution of just saying, I know this guy who says this stuff. Now you have a fake video of a guy saying this stuff.
Well, and I think not only that, it's also that Alex recognizes it as the thing he does.
Yeah.
And he knows that there isn't really a good defense to it.
Mm-mm.
Because fighting around with it gets you in the mud. And
he would know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he exploits that for his own gain and resents this idea that someone else could be doing something that is he knows to be nebulous and unfightbackable.
Mud man, no fight mud man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law of the jungle, right?
Yeah. I think it's interesting how, like, angry he is about this.
I mean, it sucks because you're like, oh, this is what everybody says about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not easy to say.
I also think that most of it is him killing time because he doesn't want to take these other calls.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks.
He thought he was just going to get to talk about how Trump has a really high score, and instead people are like, hey, what's up with Israel?
What bums me out is that this is like the learning opportunity for these assholes. This is the number one learning opportunity for them. Life is so much more fun whenever you've got like a Hillary to yell about, you know? You're not having fun. You're not having fun defending yourself about Israel. What are you talking about? It's Hillary's fault. Let it live there. Don't try and get power ever.
Yeah.
You're bad at it.
I think especially, if you're someone who's in the lane that Alex is in, the lengths that you're going to have to go to turn like left-wing protesters into the most powerful entity in the world.
Yeah.
Like that the devil is running. Like it's no good. You should always be out of power or else your whole game looks fucking stupid.
The most famously toothless thing that people have done for the past 100-odd years, you're going to try and turn into a Soros-run genius operation.
Yeah.
Great.
It's implausible, stupid, and like you're saying, it's not fun.
Yeah.
He's not having any fun.
It's no fun.
No.
It's no fun. I get that you want to feel like it's real, but it's not. So just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Ugh. Well, unfortunately, reality does exist.
Yeah, that is a problem.
And one of the realities that Alex is going to have to deal with is that he has a boss now. And that's Chase.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I mean, it's not official or anything.
It's not official.
But there's things that you see.
Yeah.
And really, this last clip is kind of where I want things to be. I want us to think about this.
Okay.
Chew on this a bit.
Okay.
I'm out of time. You know what? I bet Chase wants me to hold over. He always invites me to hold over. Ask Chase if he's good with that. If not, I don't care. It's fine. He's got a loaded show, though, with tons of clips and news. He went out and showed No King's protest himself. I got incredible footage you're about to see, Chase Geyser. But see if Chase wants me to hold over, because I'm going to go to Kenny on No Kings.
Chase is hosting the show after Alex, and Alex needs to ask permission. Alex has a subservience to Chase. He would always be like, I'm going to take the first half hour from Owen. I'm going to hold over. He never had that kind of courtesy for other people.
What a wild... And this is one of Owen's biggest complaints. This motherfucker would just walk onto my show, whatever, and now he's listening to Alex go, Chase, can I stay?
Mm-hmm.
Can I stay over? My parents says it's okay.
I don't think he's going to mind, but run it by him. See, I'm going to ask it, you know, maybe Chase will let me take these calls on his show that I didn't take on mine.
And Chase is totally prepared for it, too. He's done his own little videos. God, Chase is going to run InfoWars in 2 years.
Maybe already.
Yeah, he's just going to have the whole thing.
I get the feeling of subordinates.
Sure.
From that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not free Alex. That's
That's not steamrolling Alex. That's not this. All of this network is my time. Mm-hmm. I give you this time, but it is my time to take away.
Yeah.
That's Chase's time. So I must ask if I can have some of it.
Yeah. I think that it's reflective of whether or not Chase is actually his boss.
Sure.
Alex is captured.
Yeah,
Alex is entirely at the whim of Bigley and, by extension, Chase.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny in a sense, because I think what I hope the next evolution of his show is a combative relationship between him and Bigley.
That would be fun.
Back in the old days of radio, you'd have like Howard Stern. And
my bosses say I can't do this, but you know what? Here we go!
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's fucking good radio.
It is good radio. It is good radio.
If we can sort of navigate into a territory where like Chase is the program director who's just like, oh, Alex, you got to clean up your act. if we could do that, that would be so good.
Like a late night. Okay, all right. I gotcha.
Chase is the suit.
Chase would be fun. Yeah.
He's the guy who's like, Alex, you swear too much on air.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you. I'm gonna.
He'd be Rip Torn in Larry Summers. That's who he'd be. The Larry Summers show. Or Larry Sanders.
Or he could actually have his Howard Beale network kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he could live this.
He could.
With his own employee being his boss.
Yeah. Here's what I would also accept, right? I would also accept him going away and then Chase turning it into like a weird buttercream gang version of InfoWars, where he's just kind of way more wholesome and just doesn't really touch on too much, likes to give British Baking Show reviews, like does the whole thing, just like pulls it all back.
And then 2 years from now, what's that smell? Oh, that's Tito's.
Uh-oh.
Door gets kicked in.
Back! Now that's what you got to do. You got to go away to come back, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope he has a miserable working situation in the future and that it turns into that. That's kind of my fantasy for what could be interesting out of this content.
Yeah. I like him seething uncontrollably while Chase Geyser has no idea that it's going on at all.
And him not being able to really give voice to it because he realizes how screwed he is.
Yeah.
How out of control he is of his own career and his own business.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
So we'll see if it goes down that path.
Let's hope.
Until then, when we check in next, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.